Lashana Tova Tiki Tevu, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with our very special lady and lover of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, honey, and shalom aleichem to all. And yes, we do love the Word of God, and know you do too. For without it, how could we ever truly know Him?
Well, we couldn't.
So we are continuing our study of Hebraic Roots 101, Rosh Hashanah's Feast of Trumpets, that begins this year at sundown on Friday, September 15th, through sundown on the 17th. Let us now give thanks to the Lord for His appointments that really helps us to understand eschatology big time.
O Lord, our God, we humbly thank You for Your timely appointments. You are a perfect God, full of wisdom, mercy, and love. We continue to long for a deeper presence of Your glory and divine protection over the bride of Christ during our times of testing. We lift up to You these recent prayer requests and the salvation for our lost loved ones as we push through the darkness that surrounds us, knowing victory lies ahead. Meanwhile, we will continue in our quest, speaking truth to the lost as we anxiously await Your return. May tonight's program send a sweet aroma to Your throne and be a blessing to those who are listening. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And amen.
Okay, so what's pertinent in the news?
Well, Jill Biden has COVID again, even after having four shots, because it's ruined her immune system. And then there's Putin's meeting with North Korea, and the BRICS nations are expanding with the goal to severely diminish our dollar.
That's really not good.
Mm-hmm. Then there are rumors of war on Israel's northern border with Lebanon, and attacks continue almost daily, mainly homegrown incidents, as in many stabbings, truck rammings, and an increase in Iranian-made IED explosives, with one going off at Joseph's tomb last week, resulting in four serious injuries. And as you know, we have been reporting on Israel's situation with Saudi Arabia in that a few weeks ago, Saudi Arabia was eager to make a treaty without requiring commitments for the Palestinians. But then Biden interfered, saying that the Palestinians' requests should be on the table. So last week, Saudi Arabia's Prince Salman told Palestinian leader Abbas that no agreement with Israel will happen unless Israel agrees to giving them their own state.
Well, in other words, a two-state solution.
Which our democratic leaders have been continually demanding over many years.
So we will be watching that.
Oh, yes, certainly.
And there was serious protesting in Tel Aviv last weekend.
Yes, at least 160 people and 50 police were injured in a riot of illegal immigrants from Eritrea.
That's just north of Ethiopia, isn't
it? Yes, yes. They are seeking legal asylum since they are Jews, whose original ancestry had settled in Ethiopia, especially more than during went into the diaspora they left. And these refugee protesters heavily oppose the nasty totalitarian regime in Eritrea, which is why they fled. Therefore, protesting against those who do support the regime, as in the embassy, who were actually able to acquire a permit from the Israeli government to hold an event to celebrate their 30 years of independence from Ethiopia. And, of course, many came to Israel to attend.
But were greeted with these unhappy protesters.
Yes, they were.
Over here, we deal with our own set of problems.
Yeah. And did the people at Burning Man Festival really think it was a good idea to build a 60-foot tower known as the Chapel of Babel?
Yeah, and during Teshuvah.
Also, it is expected that Biden will undergo an impeachment inquiry while Trump faces his indictments and tries to finagle his campaign with his court dates.
God bless his fortitude. you know, not many would continue.
Oh. You know, when the leftist establishment hates him so much, what else can we do but support him? And he's learned so much, and experience counts when you're dealing with the swamp and adversarial nations. With that said, God picks our kings to fulfill his prophecy, which, if we are truly in the final months, could mean it's past Trump's time, because judgment is coming upon a bad king, not a good one. Seriously, just think about that. Oh, I know that's not what some of the so-called prophets are saying, but many were wrong before.
Yeah, and could be wrong again.
After all, these are the days of false prophets and deception. Just reread Jeremiah 23, and verse 20 says this will happen again in the latter days. And verse 31 is declaring that they'll say God says it when he really didn't. And once a particular foreteller is wrong, we must never listen to them again.
Yeah, use our discernment.
And confirm with Bible eschatology.
Okay, you can send your end time question by email to Sheila at shofarministry.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are really needed and greatly appreciated, which will add you to our mailing list. You can donate on our, you can also donate on our webpage, shofarministry.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Okay, last week we began talking about Rosh Hashanah, which has many significant identifiable titles that is important for us to look at. After all, it is the real new year, and we've already talked about some of the idiomatic expressions for Rosh Hashanah, as in
Chief of the Year, Yom Terah, the Coronation, Arise, Open the Gates,
and the Day of Remembrance, where we read in Malachi 3:16 about that special book containing all our good words and deeds done for the Lord.
Therefore, also called the Day of Judgment.
Not only for those left behind, but on the reverse side, according to 1 Corinthians 3, for our rewards that we receive in heaven, listed in the Book of Remembrance at what we call the Bema Seat Judgment. So this week, let's continue, because Rosh Hashanah has a few more very meaningful idioms or familiar titles, as in
No one knows the day or the hour.
Now, this is a good one, because Rosh Hashanah lasts for 2 days. Therefore, we don't know which day and certainly not the hour. For that is a literal phrase, and we have a great example of just how literal in the next verses, as in Mark 13. So let's read what Jesus says in verses 32 through 35. But this time in context, which few ever do when quoting Jesus on this topic. So let's go with, we'll start with verse 32.
But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father.
Before you go on, let's clarify that the Son didn't know what exact hour while he was on earth, but he does now. And he's back with his father. Continue verse 33.
Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is.
The Greek word for time is kairos, meaning we won't know the exact set time. So now in context, Jesus is about to give an example of what he just said in his next words in verse 34.
It is like a man going to a far country, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming,
Now, saints, here lights the light bulb.
In the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning.
We see here that Jesus is being literally specific, and that's within a 24-hour period. And since Rosh Hashanah lasts for 2 days, that's within 48 hours. So in other words, when someone says we can't know the day or the hour, that really means the exact time. So please know that, and that's so that you can explain it to someone when they question your knowledge.
Another expression for Rosh Hashanah is the hidden day.
Because it's on the new moon that is barely visible the first night, which is why it lasts for 2 days, to be sure they saw it.
The rapture will be on a new moon.
Yes. And every month, by the way, is ushered in with a new moon representing a new month. And they would always cook a festive meal on this day, as confirmed in 1 Samuel 20. And remember this Jewish rule. Only on a Sabbath or a new moon could anyone see the king or a man of God. This is confirmed in 2 Kings 4:23.
Another hint. We're leaving on a new moon.
And Rosh Hashanah is also considered a high Sabbath as well. And Psalm 81 verse 3 in the original says to
blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon on our feast day.
That would be Rosh Hashanah because it's the only feast that begins with the new moon. Again, the beginning of the month is determined by the first visible sighting. And the shofar is blown in one long blast. Numbers 10:10 states that silver trumpets should also be blown on all new moons to sanctify the day and the offerings. However, on the new moon of Rosh Hashanah, 100 shofars were blown to differentiate that it was also the new year.
Then, at the last trumpet sound, they would celebrate.
That's right. And when any new month is announced, the people have fellowship. Also, after a blessing is said, the traditional greeting of peace are given to one another, saying, Shalom Aleichem.
Peace be with you.
And the response is, Aleichem Shalom.
Upon you, peace.
You know, I remember as a Catholic saying that during Mass as well.
But not in Hebrew.
No. Anyway, each new month was a time of fresh dedication to Yahweh and of blessing Him while seeking His direction for the days ahead. Okay, how about another name?
The wedding of the Messiah.
Oh, yes, and Jesus uses wedding terminology often. And it was the Father that decided when the groom should go get his bride, when the Hadar, which is Hebrew for the wedding chamber, used in Isaiah 26:20, was ready to his specifications. And she didn't know for sure when that would be, but she did have many clues from the groom's close friends when it was getting close.
And our clues are increasing.
Every day. Yes. And still waiting for one more that is the biggest of all.
Right. The serious talk of dividing Jerusalem.
Yes, as part of the Daniel 9 treaty. And by the way, we have the same friends as Jesus did. Remember the two who showed up at the Transfiguration, Matthew 17:3?
Moses and Elijah.
Yeah. So our friends too, because Moses penned the Torah, and Elijah is known as the prophet over all the prophets who penned many scriptures, who has told us how it will be and what signs to look for, as we can now see even more clearly, because God is revealing more to his last generation. After all, Hebrews 10:25 does say that we will see the day approaching.
He said it, and we do.
Anyhow, let's talk a little bit more about the first century Jewish wedding, since Yeshua was raised Jewish. Therefore, let us compare it as to how it will be with us, his bride.
There are four phases.
Right. The first one, of course, is betrothment. And that can either be arranged by the father, sometimes from birth, or the young man himself can ask, or there could be a matchmaker, as was the case of Isaac in Genesis 24.
And we can claim all three of the Trinity.
Yep. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, our matchmaker, who actually does woo us to the right situation, especially when enhanced by others' prayers.
So, never stop praying for your loved ones.
Amen. Now, we become betrothed when we accepted Yeshua's spiritual Passover by applying the blood and inviting him into our hearts and promise to love no other God. So, when the prospective bride accepts the man's proposal, she must drink from the offered cup of wine.
He would then pay the bride price.
And if the father accepts the price, he would pull out a white linen cloth and give it to the groom for use on his honeymoon. The typology here, of course, is that Jesus, too, paid the bride price with his blood on the cross and was wrapped in a white linen cloth.
So, back to the young man who would then give her gifts.
Yeah, and we, too, receive gifts from the Holy Spirit. Then the young virgin would learn more about him by speaking with his closer friends.
While the groom was preparing a place for her at his father's house.
And in John 14:2, Jesus also said he would go and prepare a place for us.
He also said, I will come again and receive you to myself.
Oh, praise be. So back to the young virgin who would now prepare herself and also partake in a ceremonial cleansing called a mikvah.
Like our water baptism.
Yes, which is why we do a total immersion, just like they did.
And how John the Baptist did.
Yes. She would also study her contract.
Called a ketubah.
Which outlined his promises and her responsibilities.
For us, it's our Bible.
And as we just said, the maiden would communicate with the groom's friends to learn more about him, as we also learn more about him through his autobiography penned by Yeshua's friends. Then the maiden waits for the shout of the trumpet to meet him to escort her in a chariot to his father's house for the big wedding under the huppah.
Just like we anxiously await.
For sure. We all long to hear that loud teruah trumpet. And that's a shout to meet Yeshua for our big wedding right after his coronation as king. Then after our wedding under heaven's huppah, God will give us our rewards.
And the queen's crown.
It's hard to even imagine the scope of it all.
1 Corinthians 2:9.
That's right. It's really unimaginable. And there's the honeymoon, or the Shavuah, which in Hebrew means seven. And this is very important to understand.
It must be a period of seven.
Exactly, because that's a complete number. Now, in those days, it was usually 7 days as in a week. But if you had money, it could last 7 weeks. But it had to be seven. Anything less would annul the marriage. Let's read that scripture in Genesis 29, where Jacob just realized, for it was dark, that he hadn't married Rachel, but her older sister Leah instead, and he was outraged. Jacob quickly exited the hadar, the wedding chamber, to speak with her father Laban, who told him in verse 26,
I cannot give you the younger before the firstborn.
So the next verse confirms the importance of the week-long honeymoon. Please read what Laban also told Jacob.
Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years. Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as wife also.
So, our honeymoon must be for a period of seven. And in our case, it's 7 years. But it's not 3.5 like the mid-tribbers claim.
And the post-tribbers don't recognize a honeymoon in heaven at all.
Right. Bottom line, saints of God, knowing our roots from the first century and before gives us the knowledge of how it will be with us. That's why he set up all the customs and idioms so we could understand. Mid or pre-wrath and post-tribbers rather ignore their Jewish customs. Even many, as I've said many times, Messianic Jews don't understand their real roots from the first century, only what their father and grandfathers taught them. And that has changed even before they were ever born.
Yeah, especially through the Dark Ages.
Oh, yes, it did. A lot of things added and taken away, and et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, to prove the bride was a virgin, and because all covenants were blood covenants, the marriage consummation must be proven by the blood-stained white linen cloth given to the young man at his betrothment from the father. They then remain in the Hadar for the rest of the 7 days, when the guests return on the seventh day to witness the unveiling of the bride as they exit the chambers, and then for all to see. They then return back to the young wife's previous home to announce it is official and welcomed by a grand reception with a marriage supper.
Now, that's a lot of typology.
It is. And that's why we do this every year, so that people eventually will be able to share it themselves. But we too, at the end of our 7-year honeymoon in heaven, we're going to return to earth, our previous home, Revelation 19. And from our studies, we conclude it will be on a Yom Kippur with our husband, Yeshua, this time at the sound of the great trump.
Matthew 24:31.
And after he rids the earth of its evil in 5 days, we will partake in a gala event ushered in with the Feast of Tabernacles on Tishri 15 and enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb right here, as the Messianic kingdom on earth begins.
Which also just happens to be on Jesus' earthly birthday.
Everything's so detailed, and its times have already been set. Prophecy will be fulfilled.
What about divorce?
Well, it's only for adultery and likely stoned to death.
For that's a typology, too.
Well, it is, because with Jesus, the only annulment after betrothment is through spiritual adultery, which is blaspheming the Holy Spirit by denying Christ as your Savior. And that means spiritual death. Hebrews 6 also addresses that. But really, what true believer could do that? You might backslide from fellowship, but that's not denying Him. Other than that, we believe in once saved, always saved, because Jesus died for all our sins, past, present, and future. But again, who would let that sacrifice be a license to deny Him? If so, the question then might appear that were they ever really saved? Did they really know Him personally? As Matthew 7 suggests, some might not. There is a supreme and diverse God who sent His only Son to anyone who wants eternal life with Him. I tell you with an honest heart that time is running out. So right now, if you haven't already, give your heart and life to the Lord. Don't wait. Admit you are a sinner and invite Him in. If you really mean it, then you are sealed and set apart for His coming kingdom. And I'm going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6:22. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, that perfect shalom that you won't even understand how it happens, but it's an undying, lasting peace. So till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. And that's from Psalms 122, verse 6. See you next week.
All right.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.